Life is a journey, and we each travel our own path. No one is ahead or behind. We're all on our own unique timeline. So trust the process and celebrate every step you take. To make a difference in someone's life, you don't have to be brilliant, rich, beautiful, or perfect. You just have to care. I'm going to start off with that today. Monday was a little different day. I had to have plumbers out at the house, and they got through. By the time they got through, I get a text. My mower is ready. So I took off and drove up to the farm, got the trailer, came back to Dayton, got the mower, and I'm getting ready to pull in our subdivision, and there's a little black car coming up pretty fast. And I thought, I'm going to beat them. So I beat them, and lo and behold, they pulled in behind me. And I got thinking, oh, no, did I upset somebody? And they're fixing to, you know, have a gun after me or what here. So I had no idea. So I just go ahead and turn and go to the house, and they're still following me. So I pulled over. As some of you know, I filled in our big ditch so I can pull over now, let somebody by. And I keep watching them in the mirror, and they're just kind of sitting back here, and they finally slowly ease up. And I look over, and it's somebody I know. So anyhow, they pulled over in neighbor's driveway and get out, and I went ahead and started backing my trailer in to get out of the way and so forth. And I'll put it this way. After they left, I unloaded the mower, and Margie got there at some point in there. And well, I unloaded the mower, and the more I thought about it, I was sitting out there mowing my front yard, just crying like a baby. Somebody remembered something and came by. And, you know, there's times that, just like I just read, you just have to show you care. It really touches you. And that person really touched Margie and I that day, and so forth. So keep that in mind. You know, we're talking about being zealous. That was a very zealous act for them to take their time out, drive out. As Randy Ho used to say when we moved out there, Jim, you moved way out in the country. When we lived in town, Randy was by the house 2-3 days a week. He'd just drop in. He liked to catch it close to supper time, too. But he would just show up at the back door. No, no, no. You always knew Randy's knock. The kids here, Randy's here, you know. But anyhow, so but somebody took their time out to drive out to the country and so forth. And so you got to keep in mind, sometimes zealous things work in mysterious ways, and we just gotta keep on track. And that's what church is all about, being a family and remembering things and so forth on that. And do you remember everything? No, you don't remember everything, but there's times all of a sudden something will come up and bam, you hit you in the head. Oh yeah, you know, and you call somebody or send them a card or take them flyers or whatever the situation might lead to. So I just start off class on that zealous aspect that happened. And I'm slowly getting over my crying jags on that. So last week we, we stopped. We were talking about Christians who define themselves in terms of what they don't do will quickly lose their zeal. And I think we all have been guilty of this, you know, saying, somebody asks you, well, are you a good person? Oh, yeah, I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't. And the list can go on and on of don'ts, okay? But your entire spiritual life can start becoming a holding back situation. We have to think that those type of I don'ts can be a zeal zapper. And it's true, even when a list of things to avoid is biblical and right, because the Lord gave us, I'm going to call them rules, okay? There's a lot of things in there we have to abide by that are don'ts, okay? So we have to keep that in mind. But when you're talking with someone, well, you want to think of more in the positive than the negative there. So with that situation, we could define your faith by saying, and this is what will happen to us a lot of times, we'll say, oh, we don't use musical instruments for praise. I don't misuse the church resources. I don't believe in false doctrines. And that list can go on and on, start listing the don'ts in the Bible situation. But that's not really defining us still and being zealous, okay? So I want you to kind of think about that. Our entire perception of Christianity becomes a kind of a one-sided and out of balance when we do that. We as Christians need to be zealous, needing to think proactive in terms of what they do as God's people. We need to love what is right. We'll not only avoid the wrong, they will also do what is right. James 2, chapter 2, 15 through 17. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead by being by itself. And then over in Ephesians 5 and 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. We need to start thinking about, we do sing praises of God from the heart. We do visit from house to house as a family. We do give generously from our income. We do share the good news about salvation. We do serve God with zeal each day. Flip that around. You know, just some thoughts there to kind of keep that in mind. The truth is, zeal takes action. It takes action. It's not a placid thing. Zeal doesn't happen if we just sit at home and do nothing. We have to take action, okay? Now, you can be at home and pick the phone up, okay, those type of things. But I think y'all get what I'm talking about. If this lie has affected your thinking, and I'm talking about the lie about using the don'ts, all the negative aspect, we got to break free from it and to really start thinking in terms of leaving the terms don't out, but that we do certain things, okay? Yeah, kind of some food for thought on that today. The day a sinner obeys, the gospel is full of excitement and joy. I think everybody in here that's obeyed the gospel can still remember the day you obeyed the gospel and what happened. Am I correct? Show of hands. Yes, I see your head shaking. Yeah. I mean, it is a monumental thing. I would say it's way ahead of, even when you had your children born. Great day on that too, okay? But becoming a Christian is the ultimate choice that we all should make. I mean, the ultimate choice. Because we have chosen to obey God, do His will, and by doing so, we will have a hope for heaven. And if we live our life right, if you're living your life right, I actually think of terms of skip the hope. You are going to heaven if you live your life right. Okay? Can everybody say that? Everybody's believers in here? Yes. Okay? The joy extends all the way to heaven over in Luke 15:10. When somebody obeys the gospel, In the same way, I tell you, there is no joy in the presence of the angels. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So a person that obeys the gospel, or a person that has strayed away and they're a sinner and they come back and repent, and it's a great time, okay? It is a great time. This is only the beginning of the journey, as we all know. Christians must learn and apply many things as they mature in Christ. Christians, we got to study passages that are hard to understand sometimes, or we really don't want to understand them, because we're going to have to change our ways if we're going to obey those scriptures. And Satan tempts us to abandon their growth and settle for a shallow faith. Let's see, I got Matthew 13:21 down. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And that goes along with talking about the sowing the seed. You got the different soils, and some seed falls on the rocky soil. It's not going to last long. I tell you, when we were hunting out in West Texas, you didn't see the grass get very tall out there. But you saw some weeds grow pretty good. Trees, I call them scrub oaks. We had a lot of little oaks there on the property, but they didn't get very tall, not like the oaks that we see down here, because the soil is not too good. So we have to really watch those type of things. 2 Peter 3:14-18. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found spotless and blameless by him at peace, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which there are some things that are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unscrupulous people and lose your own firm commitment, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. We have to be careful on a lot of different things. In the office, I have people all different walks of life. Some just no church at all. Some are all kind of different backgrounds, different religions. And I get asked a lot of interesting questions. And I almost look at most of these as being tested type situation. You know, and some of them are pretty hard questions. Somebody studied up to try to trick me up. And it's really interesting. But I have learned, if I don't know the answer, I say, hey, I'm going to have to study up on that. I'll have the answer for you the next time. Well, you know what? It may be 3 months before I see them again. And when they come in again, they don't ask. I don't bring it up, but they don't ask. Because that just tells me, you know, Satan was using them as a hard aspect to try to trip you, to try to throw you off your guard, and for you to possibly answer something you think you know, but you're not sure. And we have to be careful about that too. So if you get asked a hard question, you don't know, you know, what's the old thing? The coach is time out. Let me go study a little more. It's nothing embarrassing about saying you need to study some more on those things. But this is all about Satan, how Satan's going to work his way in to try to trip us, to try to make us doubt our faith. And we just cannot do that. We've got to stay strong. So keep those things in mind here. I lost my place. The devil would love for Christians to believe studying and applying doctrinal details will be too difficult or too divisive. He tempts Christians to retreat from greater maturity and long for the simple days when they first obeyed. What do we have to do as Christians? Grow. We got to grow. And to grow, we got to study. And by studying, we're going to grow more and more. And many times, you can, I know everybody in here has heard or read a certain scripture maybe a dozen times, and then you're in a class or a preacher brings it up again and starts looking at it, and all of a sudden, it's like the little light just turned on. Whoa, I never saw that in that. Even though I've read it so many times, that's the power. That is the power of God's word, how it can work in those type of ways for us. So don't try to get thrown off on things here. That's for sure. But keep trying to grow and mature. Right now in this class, we have all ranges of maturity. Okay, that's what makes it really difficult for a preacher or one of the men to get up doing a lesson, trying to go through a class or do a sermon to try to kind of stay in the middle so the ones that are not as mature can understand the lesson and those who are still or very mature can still get something out of the lesson. And that's hard to do on things. And I know y'all have heard preachers get up at times and they'll do a sermon, you walk out and you think, whoa, what was he really saying? Because he just preached over your head. But there's somebody else there sitting in the audience that if they had already studied that before, but they had a stronger maturity and they understood it exactly. And those that had less maturity, they were just totally wiped out. Have no idea what was going on. So they have to be very careful in those type of things. We all do if we're getting up and doing public speaking, that's for sure. Yet Jesus worked tirelessly to help Peter's zeal mature, because at the beginning, his immature zeal was a disaster. So many times people first get obey the gospel, man, they are on fire. But by being on fire, they don't have the word in them yet, but they just go out, and they can wreak some havoc, okay? Every once in a while, I still have somebody come through the office, and they say, where do you go to church, Doc? And I say, well, I go down to Eastside Church of Christ. Oh, Church of Christ, you guys are the people that y'all believe that y'all are the only ones going to heaven. I still get that. Not quite as much. Some of that's quietening down because a lot of Christians have learned that that's not the way you approach that situation. But we have to be careful in those type of things. Again, that's old Satan working, okay? You just have to watch that. But again, Peter's zeal, he worked tirelessly to try to get Peter's zeal to under control, I'm going to put it that way, because his immature zeal was a disaster. Think about it. Let's kind of go through Peter some here. At the beginning, Peter rebuked the Lord for what? Speaking of his sacrifice. And Jesus told him what? You remember what he told him? Get behind me, Satan. Okay? Get behind me, Satan. How about Peter feared the wind and the waves, and he what? Began sinking. Faith wasn't strong enough. He had the zeal to get out of that boat and start walking in the water, but the more he looked around, the waves are there and everything. The face, and here we went down. Okay? How about Peter attacked Malchus And what did he do? Cut his ear off. Just think. It's an inch over, it would have been disastrous. Because he had a sword. And a sword, when you swing a sword because of the length of the blade, there's more momentum and the stronger the strike is versus a short knife. So if he had hit his skull, he would have killed him most likely. Okay, of course, Christ is right there. He could have saved him. Okay, but, and Christ did do what? Put his ear back on, healed him. Okay, but again, Peter was so zealous, but the wrong way and things. Okay, only to have Jesus stop him and heal him. But here's the saddest of them all. Peter denied the Lord what? Three times when that rooster crowed. Fled from his sight in bitter tears. Because he knew what he'd done all of a sudden. After he told him, I'll never forsake you. Okay? So we have to keep all those things in mind. If Peter can flub up, I think we probably all can say we can flub up too. Okay? But Christ kept working with him. And you know what? He's working with us too. Try to help us out. Keep get stronger. And how is he working to helping us now? Through his word. Okay? That's where study comes in light here. The idea that zeal is somehow better at the beginning of a Christian's walk with God is not supported by the scripture. Regardless, Satan tempts Christians to long for the past rather than press on to the upward call of God. Does anybody want to go back in the past? Do you want to go back as when you first obeyed the gospel? I don't think any of us would say that because we've grown, we've matured. And through that maturity, in some ways, it gets even harder on some aspects. The questions get harder, okay? It's part of that. But we got to keep pressing onward. You got to press on for the upward call of God. The beginning of any relationship is often exciting, but true. Lifelong passion only comes as the relationship deepens and matures. The truth is, zeal must mature. Marriage, and I know some of you haven't been married in here, okay, but marriage, at the beginning, is there a lot of zeal going on there at the beginning? Oh, yeah. Can either of you do any wrong? No. But as time goes, what starts happening sometimes? Maybe a little nitpicking, you know. I wish you wouldn't do this. I wish you wouldn't do that, you know. Some of those type of things start happening. And to a certain degree, our relationship with Christ is kind of the same way. As time goes and a person would really like to skip on Sunday to go do something they really want to do, okay, I'll pick on the hunters, go hunt, go fish, those type of things, go to ball game, people are really into sports, he gets to a deal, Lord, you understand. Well, that's Satan working, not the Lord, okay? That's Satan working, trying to pull us away. And we have to be so careful in those type of things like that. And that's where, if you're married and you have a strong partner who is also a believing Christian, and young people, keep that in mind, you need to find someone that's going to be of like faith. It makes it so much easier. Believe me, it does. Because you both will think so much alike, okay? Now, sometimes that doesn't happen because old Cupid pulls that bow back and sinks an arrow down deep in the heart on the first strike. And then person, and I've heard young people through the office, and I said, well, how is he? Or how is she? Oh, she's okay. And they start, you know, but, you know, there's this. But I'm going to change them. And I tell them every time, what you got now is what you're going to have. You're not going to change them. Okay? So you just have to keep that in mind. So, or will some change a little bit? Yeah, they'll change a little bit. So if you tilt the bed, they'll stop snoring, you know, sometimes. So, but understand where I'm getting at here, okay? We got to stay, keep that zeal going here. And keep learning and growing all the time. It can be tempting to think, I'm doing pretty good. Anybody ever say that? Hey, you know, I'm doing pretty good as a Christian. When you start comparing to somebody else, you know, brother so-and-so, you know, he skips a lot. I mean, he's gone a lot. Her sister so-and-so, you know, she's just not at church much, you know. So I'm doing a lot better. I'm doing pretty good. We don't compare, okay? Initially, it can feel good to say, I'm doing a lot better than him or her. But this doesn't last. Looking at the God's standards to elevate your zeal is a true source of encouragement, okay? And when you start thinking in those terms, you don't see the whole picture because you have not talked to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so to understand what's going on in their lives. They may be having a lot of problems, okay? But they're not going to tell anybody. I just like, it just went blank. I knew I'd do that. The sister has a son that's bipolar and so forth that she's has to stay home to keep him because he's so unpredictable. One of these that just goes off and gets mad. Help me. Rita Johnson. We kept missing Rita Johnson. Finally got hold of her. And after an hour later, had a whole lot better understanding about that sister, what she was going through. My heart feels for her. I mean, she's in a sad, tough situation. Type of situation things, but that's what feeling a brother's sigh is all about. Learning, visiting with people, talking with your brothers and sisters to find out what's going on in their lives. Okay, so you always keep that in mind. So don't start comparing. You start comparing, you may better start checking them out to see what's going on in their life. You know, we know we miss Sister Paige. It's that elevator stuck again or not working. You know, I'm just picking at you, Sister Paige. And that's a bum deal over there. The management needs to have a knot put in their heads, that's for sure. So maybe I need to get with Ed and Chester. We just go visit management for you. How about that? But anyhow, but there's my whole thing is, use that zealousness. Don't start comparing. Use being zealous about finding out why somebody's having not here, whatever. Now we got the smile group going, and that helps a lot. Now it's starting to, so we're starting to find out what is starting to happen with people. I'm gonna say here recently, we've had a lady start showing up at church. Haven't seen her. It's probably been a year. And can't get hold of her. And she showed up 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Margie, the Casio's daughter. And as soon as she came in, she came to me. I said, Margie, where you been? She said, work. I cannot get off on Sundays, but I've just changed jobs around. And I should be able to be here most Sundays now, but they got me on Wednesdays. So I probably can't pull being on Wednesday. And, of course, I had to throw in, well, you're going to miss my class, you know. But so, well, I'm sorry. This past Sunday, guess what? She brought another Casio with her, okay? So you never know people's problems. Plus, during this time that we missed her, guess what else happened? Her husband died. Now, I knew her husband had been really bad off. He'd been on dialysis for a period of time. And I said, well, what happened? He gave up. He said no more. He was tired of dialysis and the pain and the misery he went through. And he said no. So as we all know, his body filled up with fluid and his heart stopped. But the and she admitted, she said he was just miserable. So again, feel for her on things. And I got on to her. I said, why didn't you tell us? You know, you could have called any of us and let us know something. We've been there for you. She didn't want to bother anybody, you know. So there's a lot of, I'm using that for examples, because when you know something about somebody, you have a different perspective about them. You understand what they're going through more, type of situation. So watch out comparing yourself to other people. It's only going to lead to a judgmental heart. You start judging them, and you may be judging them totally, totally wrong. Guard against thinking you are doing pretty good compared to others. God wants you to compare yourself to the holy standards found in His Word. This way you will remain inspired to be more like Him each day. God encourages His people not to lose heart when others forsake the Lord or fizzle out. With Thessalonians, Christians were discouraged by the laziness and unfaithfulness of fellow Christians. God told them, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. Do not grow weary of doing good, okay? When the Galatians were confronted with those who were living for the flesh instead of the Spirit, God said, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. That's in Galatians 6 and 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in the time in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So we got to be so careful in that. Does anybody ever grow weary? You grow weary. You know what happens when you grow weary? You're in that valley of zealousness all of a sudden. You slid off the mountain of zealousness and you're in that valley. Now go uphill is a little bit harder. You got to trudge uphill and get back, get your zealousness back up on top again when you get down in the valley like that. So don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. God knows the temptation to give up on living zealously for Him is very real, and that some will turn away from the truth. Matthew 13:22. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It can happen. We've seen it happen with people. So we have to be so careful on that. When others fall, you may feel disappointed, even heartbroken. Okay? It just breaks your heart when you know somebody's just turned their back on the Lord. But this is not an occasion to surrender. You don't surrender. What do? Let your light shine. What else? Pray. Pray and pray some more. Okay? I think we just saw that here recently. Okay? You pray for them. You cannot just totally give up. You can't just wash them, say, hey, I'm not going to do anything to help. Peter and countless others walked passionately with God. Because of his faithfulness, lifelong zeal is possible. 2 Timothy 1 and 6. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. 2 Timothy 2 and 10 through 13. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with the eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We've got to hang in there. Okay? Got to hang in. When you reject other lies, Satan will hurl this lie at you in many forms. He is going to lie. He'll get other people to try to pull you away in all kind of different ways. We have to overcome all those type of lies that Satan throws at us. I mean, it's just it's actually kind of a daily thing, actually, when it gets down to it. That's also part of the reason why you surround yourself with what? Correct. People of like minds. Okay? That's the reason why, young people, you want to have somebody around you who thinks like you, especially spiritual thinking. Okay? Otherwise, you're going to have problems. Tells Christians that are hurting others in the pursuit of their goals is excusable. That's what Satan will say. As long as they were zealous. They're zealous, but they've ended up hurting somebody. May say something. They're zealous. They think they're doing good. And they say something that really hurts somebody's feeling, and bingo, you don't see them anymore. Okay? That can happen. It does happen. We got to be so careful. Paul was incredibly zealous while persecuting the early church. Remember? He was so zealous. He dragged Christians out before the authorities and so forth. Probably had a lot of them that were thrown in prisons and possibly even killed. But his actions were wrong. We have to rein in our zealousness all at the same time. Zeal alone cannot save, but it's not sufficient apart from forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Zeal alone is not enough, and zeal without the Savior is meaningless. Okay? We got to know the Word. We got to study. We got to do that for all that zealousness. Take home point. Before they cut me off in the booth here, Satan's lies about zeal threaten your walk with God and can lead to your destruction. Guard your zeal with the timeless truth of Scripture so you will be protected from his attacks. Okay? They haven't cut me off yet. Any questions? I need to give y'all, did more preaching tonight than letting you do questions. Got a quick question as they're coming in? Anybody got a question? Thank y'all this evening. I apologize for preaching more than letting y'all talk this evening. Be ready for next week.